Gone, everybody. Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeart Radio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Lots of news to talk about here today. Raw is tonight. Got a couple of weeks until Hell in a Cell, but I presume we'll know more about that card after tonight's show is over. And of course, for the first time in 12 years, Bill Goldberg appears on Monday Night Raw tonight. Paul Heyman is there. Goldberg likely will be cutting a promo. Maybe he'll even do a back and forth with Paul. Brock Lesnar is not there. Goldberg and Brock Lesnar will be alternating weeks until the show before the Survivor Series, when they will both be on the show at the same time. We'll see how Bill looks tonight. He's had a little bit of time to train. He's got a little bit more time. Hopefully he's training like a madman, because a match with Brock Lesnar on a WWE pay-per-view with a month and a half notice, that's a tough one. But he'll be there tonight. We could talk about that. Also, Alberto Del Rio, Alberto El Patron, Alberto El Presidente is getting married to Paige. She got on her knees last night in the middle of a ring in Puerto Rico and popped the question. And he said yes. And the family is not happy. We'll talk about that here on the program today. Take your phone calls, emails, and text messages as well. The text message line, 425-780-7566. Don't call yet. I will explain the calling, the way we call after the break. One number, three lines, and I want everyone to stay on topic here today. That's going to be the rule. But I'll talk about that more after the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Here on Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. A lot of news to get into here today. We will take your phone calls, emails, text messages. I want calls on topic today. I'll determine what I'm going to do in the future. For a while, we were doing Open Line Fridays. You can talk about whatever you want on Fridays, and probably Sundays as well. But the rest of the week, you had to stay on topic. We kind of drifted away from that, but for now, I'm bringing it back. I don't want any of these conversations derailed with random questions. So, on topic today, you should have plenty of stuff to talk about in terms of Bill Goldberg, Raw. We're going to go over the five-point preview. Paige and Del Rio are going to be getting married. This Lucha Underground touring. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. So, we shouldn't have any problem. Now, as far as text messages and tweets, you can ask about whatever you want, and I'll determine whether I'm going to acknowledge the question or not. But the text message line, 425-780-7566, and the toll-free line, we have one line, 844-411-5411. That is 844-411-5411, and your call will patch to one of three different lines. Three lines now! So you should have no problem getting onto the program if you have something to talk about that is relevant to today's program. The biggest story, arguably, is Alberto El Presidente and Paige.
Do you really want people to call in and talk about this?
Hell yeah. I got a lot to say about this.
Okay.
Alberto Rodriguez and his girlfriend, Soraya Jade Bevis. Alberto El Presidente and Paige. They're in the news one more time as they have just gotten engaged. Paige popped the question earlier last night while inside the ring in Mayagüez, Puerto Rico. Rodriguez, also known as Alberto El Patron, was working the WWC Anniversario weekend when in the ring she pulled out a ring and popped the question, and he accepted. Photos of Paige on her knees with the ring with tons of people shooting pictures are going through social media. Rodriguez's wife had filed for divorce earlier this year after photos of Rodriguez and Paige together had reached social media. Social media, the death of us all. She is currently under contract to WWE, but it seems like there are issues with that on a regular basis. She is now on a 60-day suspension for failing a drug test. I should add that Paige's father went on Facebook this morning, Ricky Knight, and this is what he posted. Quote, putting this out there, then saying no more about it to anyone, I am totally against my daughter marrying that man, statement over. And that was later pulled from Facebook. This is a rough situation.
Kinda. And you know what?
What do you mean, I'm kinda? Not... What is not rough about this situation?
It's, you know, it's not usually my place. I try to avoid getting into people's personal business, but when you keep putting your own personal business out there on the street and it keeps interfering with your business, which is our business to cover in the case of like the AAA show slash stabbing incident slash stabbing, whatever it was, it makes it tough. And again, I'm not in their relationship. I don't know if it's healthy or not. I don't know what it is, but it's not like there's not a precedent for tumultuous situations and relationships like this to end up having a very nasty ending, and at least a very what's the word I'm looking for? I guess a it will cause some havoc with your professional career. Which maybe Paige wants that. Maybe she. I don't know what it is, but it's a mess. And I don't know how much more anybody can really talk about it or really say about it. This is one of those where I'll just shake my head and sit back, because if history is any indication, this is probably going to continue on for quite some time and be very train wrecky. And it does it really have anything to do with wrestling? Not really. Honestly, I know she's still under contract with WWE, and I understand that she, I guess, technically would still be a part of the Total Divas show, or I don't know exactly how that works or anything like that, but when it comes to the wrestling aspect of things and the business aspect of wrestling, does it really matter? Unless they miss more shows or unless something happens, does this relationship really, should it be something that we're talking about or even give any attention
they
to?
They propose in the middle of a wrestling ring. Of course we're going to talk about it.
I guess. And you know what? That was the biggest. And WWC, I have not found it was their entire anniversario weekend. For those of you who have WAPA in Puerto Rico, WAPA America here in the States, and I believe it's over the air in places like New York and in Florida and places like that, where you can't even find results of the show. I don't even know if he beat Carlos Colon or not, or Carlito Colon, Carlito Caribbean Cool or not.
Come on, Mike. You know none of this matters. What matters is there was a proposal. They're getting married.
Yes, I know, but you would figure they would latch onto this and at least let people know what happened. I mean, Jeff Hardy was there. It's not like there weren't other people that were on the car, too, and you can't even find results about that, but you can find, you know, the backstage footage of them walking backstage and him snatching her by the throat and giving her a kiss, which became a thing. That was the first picture I saw this morning on Twitter, was a screenshot of him grabbing her by the throat, which was like, what in the world is this? And then I went to WWC's, I don't know, if I believe it's their own official Facebook, where you see the whole thing in context, and it certainly wasn't, it didn't seem to be what the picture had shown, but it was like, you have got to be kidding me. This is, again, it's very TMZ-ish, and I guess we can talk about it if people really want to. It's just, it's not something that personally I have too much interest in, other than I hope, like we talked about last week, everything works out okay for both of them.
Dude, I'll talk about it. This is the craziest storyline in wrestling this whole year. Alberto and Paige. This person says, I don't believe that WWE would intentionally or maliciously be negligent in handling the health of its talent, but is it possible that WWE has been hesitant to sign off on surgery for Paige out of fear that spending all of her time out with Del Rio would make her less likely to return, considering Del Rio's unhappiness with the company?
Listen, seriously?
She's spending time with Del Rio whether she gets surgery or not. They're not signing off on it because they don't think she needs it, because they have to pay for it. And so they had their doctor look at her, and he determined that she didn't need surgery. And they don't want to pay for it if she doesn't need surgery. And so that's why they're not signing off on it. But she's getting it anyway on Wednesday.
This is what I'm saying. With do you really want people to chime in on this and throw their two cents in or their digs or something like that? I mean, think of that question. To me, I don't know. The logic goes out the window where it's like, you know, are they intentionally not letting her get... I mean, my God. I mean, there could be... I don't know. It's just insane to me that that would even be... have to be asked, unfortunately.
Caller, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Brian?
What's happening?
Well, let me... I want to know, have you found out on the suspension for Paige, what was the illegal drug there?
It is not been released, and they're not going to release it, so she would have to release it, and she claimed that it was prescription pain medication, so my guess is we'll never find out what it was.
All right. As an expert in dealing with some certain types of addicts in my situation, and I'm going to talk about Paige and wrap this up in my expertise in. When you are taking prescription medications, you have, especially from the ladies, when I've been working with, I've worked in a facility that deals with directly with women addicts in situations like that, they don't have a rational thinking, especially when you not have a control of their situation. And I saw the kind of pitches and the marriage proposal, they're trying to get out of the WWE contract. That's what I'm thinking she's trying to do. Trying to have the May December relationship between her and Alberto. What is it, like 15, 16 year difference?
It's a couple.
It's a couple. It looks like I like a good train wreck, but this is bad. This is the kind of bad train wreck, Brian, that it could lead to her she's at the point of she's doing career suicide, that she can be, I'm not saying poisoned, she could be a poison to herself.
Well, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call. We'll tackle this more after the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Well, nothing like a live show on a Monday for some breaking news. I guess it only would be better if it were Tuesday, right before Dave's deadline, but... GSP is on the MMA Hour right now, and he has announced that he has gotten himself out of his UFC contract, and he is a free agent. So it is looking very likely that George St. Pierre is going to fight again, but not in the UFC. They have lost him.
Baby Slice GSP.
Ben Askren GSP. A main event anywhere in the country.
That's I can see I don't know. Good for him that he got out of the deal. Too bad for UFC that they are so hard-headed over a lot of this, and I don't think MMA needs GSP at this point, but it's certainly nice that he would be back. UFC doesn't necessarily need GSP either, one would think, except for you keep hearing about how much money that they need to make under its new ownership and under how everything has gone down. And seems like they certainly could have used the guy, but I guess not. Dana White's just been very hard-headed about this. The UFC's been very hard-headed about this. And GSP's out, and we'll guess will be very interesting. I'd like to hear this interview. I'd like to hear some of his interviews going forward, too, and to figure out what his plans are. So good move for whoever picks him up, and if it's Scott Coker and it's Bellator, who I'm sure is already on the phone with them, then, you know, great for them, because you may actually be able to run a pay-per-view with GSP and a loaded-up card with all the ability that you have to promote it on Spike and be able to make a little chicken salad out of things that the UFC left in the toilet.
This person says, will Paige stay employed long enough for them to use this marriage as a Total Divas season finale? If Total Divas had been filming all of this from the start, this would be beating the Kardashians, or whatever the top reality show is these days. I don't think it's Total Bellas. I've heard nothing about that show since it debuted. First week didn't do well, and I've heard nothing since, so I don't know, but I don't know why everyone is presuming that she wants to get out of her contract. I mean,
I'm sure she wouldn't mind, but, you know, with
why?
That said,
she's making money. I mean, unless she's totally mentally done with wrestling, why would she be trying to get out of her WWE contract?
Because, look, she's also very young, and she's got a lot going on right now, and sometimes you don't think rationally about a place or where your employment is until you're gone from that place. And, I have no idea. I don't know what her mentality is, but I will think of this, at least try to put myself in WWE's position and look at past history and go, doesn't really matter if you're happy here or not. You're under contract. We're going to hold your feet to the fire for the eternity of this contract, and we'll just put you on ice, you know, for that entire time. And that's it. It's that simple. Because if you're WWE, unless it really starts getting into a position where PR-wise you need to let her out of a deal, they have absolutely no reason to. So it, to me, it's almost as simple as that. It's look at Rey Mysterio's deal. You know, there was all that talk about how much he wanted out, and he was doing everything he could to get out of the deal, and they just went, no. And that was it. And that's the way it was going to be. And she's another one in that position.
To the phones, you're on the air. What's up?
How's it going, everybody? This is Kenny from Gallatin, Tennessee.
On topic, what's up?
Hey, I want to talk a little bit about Goldberg tonight on Raw, and I really like the way they're building it up as far as the rotation goes. And if I'm WWE, I really do everything I can to make each Raw show between now until Survivor Series really mean something, because right now they've really got a chance to really do something special with that if it's done right.
All right. I want to thank you very much for the call. We'll see what they do tonight. George St. Pierre is no longer under contract with the UFC, he told Ariel Helwani on Monday's edition of the MMA Hour. This is from MMAfighting.com. You heard it right, St. Pierre said. I am a free agent. St. Pierre said his lawyer terminated his UFC contract after the promotion did not meet a deadline to offer him a fight. GSP said he was under a 2011 contract with the UFC and was working on a new deal, but talks fell apart when the UFC was sold to WME IMG in July. It was like a shock because we felt like we were making progress. We were almost there, St. Pierre said. He is now a free agent, free to sign with any other MMA promotion. St. Pierre said at the last minute, the UFC offered him a fight with Robbie Lawler, but Lawler has said he is taking time off from MMA after a knockout loss in July. At that point, St. Pierre said his lawyer told him his UFC contract was terminated. GSP now officially a free agent, and he can go anywhere he wants. Bellator, World Series of Fighting, Invicta. Maybe not Invicta.
No, he can't go to Invicta.
Guess he can't. I mean, he could now, go. He just can't fight.
That's true. That's true. Where is Funky Ben? World Series of Fighting? Well, one championships. Where is he at right now?
Ben Askren?
1FC?
I think
yes.
He's in 1FC.
You know, there's a lot of money that...
there ain't that much money in 1FC.
Well, you know, at least they're backers. I mean, for a GSP fight. Look, for a GSP fight, at least one time, somebody's going to come up with the money. Now, whether that money makes money or not is a completely...
You know who's most likely to come up with the money? Let's be honest here. It's Bellator.
Oh, absolutely. It should
Bellator be. Bellator is likely going to be his next stop, and he will become champion. I don't think he's going to fight Baby Slice.
Hey, let me ask you, though, seriously, do you, I know that they're all about Spike, and I'm sure Spike would, to me, with being associated with Showtime, I would make his first fight, I would do whatever you could, and I know they're big on these tentpole Spike events, but put this thing on pay-per-view, do the best you can, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I don't think you're going to lose your rear end or anything like that to that point. But if it just doesn't work out and you don't clear as much as you want to, it's not like you can't always have him fight on Spike again. So I would go that direction when putting him on pay-per-view first. I don't know about you.
Well, without UFC, a pay-per-view is going to do like 100,000 buys. But with GSP, maybe you could break that record. I mean, GSP is not going to draw 500,000 buys for Bellator. He's not going to draw a million buys.
No.
I mean, maybe he could draw 150. But,
yeah, but
we're still in an era where UFC's brand name is so powerful that if you are not in UFC, the interest in seeing you fight, like to pay to see you fight on pay-per-view, it plunges dramatically. So, yeah, you could run it on pay-per-view, but I don't know what their business model is. Maybe it's a much bigger deal to them to run it on free TV and draw a blockbuster rating and try and showcase some fighters with that rating and say, we did a better rating than UFC has done all year on television. That may be what they prefer to do. I don't know. But it's not like GSP fighting for you on pay-per-view is going to blow the roof off your pay-per-view buys or anything like that. I just don't see it.
It may not, but at least with him, at least you can also maybe get some help with sponsors as far as, you know, footing some of that bill. And the fact that you do have, you know, not a weekly show. I know they have a show coming up here on Friday. I think it is either Friday or Saturday. They have a show coming up. So I'm sure we're going to be hearing, you know, if they're able to make a deal by then, I'm sure we'll hear all about it then. But it's like they haven't had a regional draw, which GSP would be in Canada. So you do have to, you know, look at that and the possibility of, will those people pay to see him on pay-per-view? You do have a TV show that you can promote it on. And you do have the risk, if you put him on TV just one time of him, I don't think it's going to happen because I'm sure there will be some safe matching making. At least I would hope so, you know, for I don't care what he's doing in the gym right now. There would be some safe matchmaking for his first professional fight back, if that's the case, that he could lose. And I don't think he will, but it's possible. So then in that case, then you got a situation where almost like it's like Fedor or something like that, where it's like, you know, was the hype worth it? Was it all worth it to have him go out there and have him be rusty and lose in his first fight back and he didn't make any money at all off of it?
This person says, with your expertise as the man who wrote the book detailing WCW's demise and having followed TNA's problems since the beginning, do you think Lucha Underground is on the right track so far? Well, they're not on as bad a track as TNA, I can tell you that much. And they are a completely different business model. They're essentially, funds are raised to get them through a season. That's it. Now, as far as their touring ideas, well, they're doing it the same way TNA did things. How do you tour in Phoenix with a week's notice? That's madness. 1 week's notice. By the way, this from the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Cricket Wireless announced Friday they will be sponsoring the first Lucha Underground house show tour, with events scheduled for October 23rd. That's this coming weekend in Phoenix, Arizona. This was just officially announced. October 30th in Houston, November 5th in San Diego, California. The current issue of The Observer discussed the tour and some of Dave's thoughts on it. As of today, the only thing we know is that Rey Mysterio Jr. and Prince Puma were being pushed as the top stars in the original plans, but Puma's in Japan all 3 dates, which I wonder if that's going to be a contractual issue. Coincidentally, Mysterio's booked for Japan next week as well, but that's just on October 26th. He should be able to work the Lucha Underground dates. We're told different talents will be at different shows, as opposed to having the same card done all 3 nights. And again, I ask, Prince Puma's under contract. I would presume that Lucha Underground should have the right of first request in terms of doing shows. I wonder if they'll try and pull him from Japan. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Today's episode, sponsored by our friends at the High Spots Wrestling Network. HighSpotsWrestlingNetwork.com, the premier streaming site for all things independent wrestling. Thousands of videos, PWG, CZW, WXW, $5 Wrestling, documentaries, shoot interviews, and more. Check out over 3,000 hours of videos at HighSpotsWrestlingNetwork.com. Available on your phone, tablet, PC, Apple TV, and Roku app, HighSpotsWrestlingNetwork.com. As well as new on DVD and on demand this week, Timeline, the history of ECW 1992 and 1993, as told by Todd Gordon. Join the one and only ECW original as he takes you back to the prehistory of the company we came to know as Extreme Championship Wrestling, back when it was Tri-State Wrestling, and later Eastern Championship Wrestling. Hear the entire inside dish about Gilbert, Heyman, Sandman, and more from Todd himself. You can get this 3-hour-plus series finale, in addition to all of the other years in the Timeline History of ECW series from Kayfabe Commentaries, at their website, shootinterviews.com. Available now on DVD, video on demand, stream, KC downloads, kayfabe commentaries, their shoots are not shareholder approved. Shoot interviews.
I want to hear more about Bucci.
.com.
You got to hear about Bucci.
Oh, yeah?
Sandman's boy, Bucci. Now, I want a whole timeline on Bucci and Sandman's friendship. That's what I want after watching that timeline.
But put out your request.
Awesome.
To the phones, you're on the air. What's up?
Hi, this is Sam from Chicago.
Yes, Sam.
Real quickly, because you guys were talking about it before the break, I remember reading in The Observer about the Lucha Underground house shows that they were going to be free admission, and Dave was saying that you wouldn't be able to get an accurate gauge of what you could draw if you were charging. Now, I was thinking about that, and I would argue that only hardcore fans would be the ones who I assume would be going to these house shows. And with what we know about the spending habits of the hardcore wrestling fans, I don't think it'd be too far off to assume that what you're drawing with a free house show wouldn't be too far off with what you would draw with a house show with moderately priced tickets.
I don't know about that, because if you're running in an area with a heavy Hispanic population and you just spread the word far and wide that there's a Lucha show for free, I mean, you're going to get, I would presume, a fair number of people showing up that wouldn't necessarily be hardcore wrestling fans that would buy tickets if you were charging money for them. Now, I think the other key here is, listen, if Lucha Underground has a business model where they raise money and they produce a television show and they make enough money off iTunes and advertising or whatever else to satisfy the people that invested in the television show, and then you get a sponsor like Cricket Wireless who pays you to run a show, and you don't have to worry about selling tickets, and they sell all the tickets, and they're perfectly happy with what they've drawn and getting the word out about Cricket Wireless, and you could just continue to run shows with that business model, great! What do you need to sell tickets for? If this works, then it works. I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm just saying, if this is their business model and all of their sponsors are pleased with it, then more power to them.
Yep, that makes sense to me. And this Goldberg return, if I may, it had me thinking about, you know, since I've been a fan of wrestling, the biggest return I think that I've, a surprise return that I've seen was Alberto Del Rio returning to beat John Cena for the U.S. title. And in this new age where television ratings are so heavily scrutinized, and with Goldberg, you know, we have to advertise him, he's going to be on a week in advance, are we past the era where, because when I watch these Retro Raws and these Retro Nitros, it's so much fun because you never know who's going to show up every week. And now, anytime that there's a big star coming back, we have to announce it so everyone knows that they can get to their TVs. And are we past the era of having surprise returns for big stars?
Yeah. I want to thank you very much for the call. You got to watch these Retro Raws differently. The idea of advertising a return, this has been going on since the beginning of time in wrestling. Advertising what's upcoming is the way that things used to be done because you had to make money or you went out of business. Now, there was a period where they just started bringing back guys hither and yon to surprise people.
They were a great Norwegian tag team, weren't they?
Sure, yeah. This is not... How can I explain this? I think he's confused about the way things used to be and the way things are now. I mean, the whole idea used to be you advertised who was showing up and you would advertise upcoming matches. And yeah, people would show up as surprises here and there. And that's fine. I mean, you don't have to advertise every single person's return. But if someone's going to be a business changer, if someone returning is going to do better business advertising than not advertising, then you're a complete moron if you don't advertise them. And they did that many, many times. We had the return of The Rock unadvertised, and then of course it didn't make one difference in the ratings, and then they were baffled why The Rock's return didn't make a difference. Well, you didn't advertise him, it was a surprise. So I think now with ratings down, they figured out that, man, maybe we need to go back to the way it used to be, which was where we'd tell people what was coming on next week's show, and then they'll tune in. So I'm a little confused by your question. I mean, yes, there was a time where people would return out of nowhere, but
yeah,
that was middle period. That was not the way it used to be.
Well, it's
it
not
used
even
to be more like it is now.
Well, because it's like when Ricky Steamboat came back to WCW as Eddie Gilbert's surprise partner on Saturday night against Flair and Windham, and it was like, whoa, you know, there's always been things like that, and there's always going to be a place like something, you know, for something like that to happen. But again, with the way the business has changed, and even if the business had not changed, when you if you have the ability to make money, and again, it just comes down to, like, when they didn't advertise The Rock, it's like, why? If they don't advertise Steve Austin, and I think there was one time they did advertise him, but they ended up doing it on, like, Monday afternoon. I mean, they started advertising, like, when we started doing the show. I think one of the times he was on it, it's like, what are you doing? You know this doesn't make any sense, and it just doesn't make any sense.
When did Ricky Steamboat make that return?
Would have been
about
January 89, I guess.
Okay,
it was
89. Okay. Mm-hmm. Listen to me, everybody. Nobody cared one bit about ratings until the Monday Night Wars. In fact, prior to the Monday Night Wars, there were many, many times, most of the time, that NWA/WCW programming was beating WWF ratings. But nobody cared. Because at the time, what was important was, are you making any money?
House show business. Pay-per-views,
etc. Nobody cared about ratings until the Monday Night Wars. Then it was a dramatic swing where the next thing you know, all these idiots care about is the ratings, which, by the way, is one of the reasons that WCW ended up going out of business. All they cared about was whether they could beat Raw on a Monday night and whether they were drawing money at house shows and pay-per-view. That all went out the window. Vince Russo, let me tell you something. This guy was hired, and in his contract, he was bonused based on if ratings increased. There was nothing in there about house shows. There was nothing in there about pay-per-views. There was nothing in there about merchandise. So, to be perfectly honest, as much as people want to bury Vince Russo for being a complete moron, and he was, to be fair, he was doing his job. There was nothing in his job description that said, we need you to build up pay-per-view revenue. I mean, this is all WCW's fault. I mean, they went out of business through all fault of their own. So the point of this is, yeah, Ricky Steamboat appearing on a random WCW Saturday night in 1989, it didn't matter because nobody cared whether they popped a rating or not. Now, they would never run a pay-per-view and take somebody who was a business maker, a business mover, and not advertise them for a pay-per-view. That would be madness.
But they actually, believe it or not, and this kind of lends into what you're saying, they did later on that year with it, the Superdome going head up against WrestleMania. George Scott was so stuck in the past that he didn't promote Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat because he wanted to try to sell more tickets, and TBS, for good reason, went completely nuclear in the fact that, why wasn't this match that we've been hyping up here, why isn't it being hyped up on the show? Oh, because we didn't want to hurt the house shows. It's like, what? You know, it's just absolute lunacy. And again, just like this, just like with anything, why you wouldn't advertise it ahead of time, especially in this day and age, I don't know, but they continue to make mistakes like that way too often.
What happened during the Monday Night Wars was WCW was owned by a media company, and it didn't matter for a long time whether they made any money or not. They lost millions of dollars for years and years and years and years. And finally, they turned it around. They made millions of dollars for a short period, and then it was a massive turnaround, largely due to the fact that there was no reason for them to worry about the bottom line. They thought, we'll always be here. We'll always be funded. This company's been around forever. It doesn't matter if we make or lose money. I mean, it was cool when they made money. It was cool when they were winning. They loved it. But it's very much like WWE today. This company grosses over $500 million a year. And so, in a lot of ways, it doesn't matter. And that's a problem. It leads to a worse product. The product is better when you have to design a product that's going to make money. It always leads to a better product. When it doesn't matter whether you make money or not, you can make every stupid mistake in the book, and it doesn't matter, so Yeah, you want to? Should we advertise Goldberg or not? Who cares? I mean, they are. That's good.
Yeah.
But they very well couldn't because it doesn't matter.
But look, sooner or later, the chickens will come home to roost. Because remember, look,
they are right now.
Well, yeah, look how WCW thought about their house show business to the point where it just guys wouldn't show up. They would do this. They flat didn't care. And my God, they went on for the longest time packing 11, 12, 13, 14, 15,000-seat buildings for substandard shows until people just finally had enough, threw their hands up. And still, even then, they talked a lot about it at length. And I think you talk about it in the book, you know, significantly too, of they still honestly thought that people would just come back because, we're WCW. And even when they started to try to do things again, force people to live up their commitments on the shows and everything, it never mattered. And it atrophied where they were getting what? 500, 1,000 people in those dying days. And that was for TV. And this was for WCW, the company that had made, what, $200 million, wherever the hell it was, just a couple years before.
The more I think about this, the more I realize that there was a time where WWF/WWE was this giant, multinational, worldwide wrestling promotion that was number one, and it was watched by casual fans and hardcores, and it had a vast audience. And their current business model of bombarding people with programming and a WWE network that you have to subscribe to, they are fast becoming the biggest hardcore independent promotion in the world.
Yes.
That's their new idea.
Hey, which, it is a vanity promotion for
it
a dude,
is
isn't it?
Astonishing to me. It's astonishing. Now, the good news is these hardcores pay more money than ever. And so they're running off fans, the casual fans, in droves. Their audience is dwindling. But you know what? The audience that is still left pays money like crazy for this product. And so everything's fine for now.
Now,
if these people start running off, if they start running off the hardcores, they're in deep trouble because they don't have casuals to fall back on anymore. They're driving them all off. But
one of their great arguments is too, like they'll point and they'll look at other things, look at this, look at that, but all those other things get revenue money from ads that they get to keep. WWE doesn't.
Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Person here, text message. James Ellsworth should be destroyed on Tuesday for the credibility of the championship, but I would like to see Ellsworth signed and begin a storyline to make him a better wrestler. Build his physique and improve his confidence. Bob Backlund would be better served helping this guy than Darren Young. Well, James Ellsworth, I think he is more over than Darren Young right now. It's tough to say. But yes, he is getting a shot at AJ Styles in the championship tomorrow on SmackDown. And tonight on Raw, it is the return of Bill Goldberg for the first time in 12 years. He will be addressing Brock Lesnar to set up the fight. And they're billing it as a fight, which tells you that this is not going to be a wrestling match. It's going to be a lot of smoke and mirrors. So we'll find out what they do tonight. Survivor Series, Brock Lesnar, Goldberg. Probably no holds barred. Brawling outside the ring, violence, couple of suplexes, and then get the hell out of there. Just like we are getting the hell out of here right now. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Tune in radio. There are links up at WrestlingObserver.com. The full schedule, 22 hours every week of Wrestling Observer Live on Sports Byline USA. You can get the schedule at SportsByline.com. I am at Brian Alvarez. Mike is at Semper Vivi. Sports Byline is at Sports Byline USA. Follow us all on Twitter and head to WrestlingObserver.com, the best website on the earth. You know that. Thanks, Mike, as always. Sports Byline USA. Callers and listeners, we'll talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.